There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second segment of the program. This is podcast number 309, October 15th, 2008. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads bring you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. From T to T times, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we always thank Yahoo Ads. On today's program, Grand Prix de France canceled. Renault are back. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Can Hamilton stay cool for the last two races? And Rubens Barrichello to test Indy cars, and of course, our favorite segment, Motorsports Mondial, with the Nasser Hamid himself. Steve, welcome to the program. How are you?
Great. How about yourself, Mr. Rogers?
I'm absolutely wonderful. We've had a great race that, of course, we discussed over the weekend broadcast, and of course, I'm still in a tizzy.
Still giddy over the
giggling
victory of your favorite
the
team.
The champagne and bubbles are still going through my nasum. Sure, certainly, it was a wonderful moment for moi.
The champagne bubble is still in your nasum. That explains a lot.
I know. And, of course, the people of Paris are still dancing in the streets.
Well, no, they're not. They're crying in the streets because they won't get to see a Formula One.
And that's the roller coaster of Formula One. One day you're up, the next day you're down. Of course, the Grand Prix de France canceled, announced today. And I'm not surprised with the economical turmoil that's really actually touched members of the F1 Weekly staff, has now touched France. People are losing jobs. And on the other hand, I'm not surprised, and this could be the beginning of a line of Grand Prix in the Western Hemisphere that may have problems financially. Your thoughts, Stephen?
I think that's a very good point. I imagine the Canadian promoters may actually be glad that they didn't get themselves onto the calendar for 09 because they are going to find that they're going to have a hard time selling out. Though they did have the advantage in that they could draw from all of North America with there being no USGP. But I would expect that we'll start hearing issues potentially with the British Grand Prix in 2010 when it goes over to the new track, and those guys having a hard time coming up with the capital to actually make the improvements they've promised Bernie. And then the German Grand Prix have been having trouble even in good economic times.
Not only that, but let's just say that the regular folk in Europe that save up all year to attend these races, a lot of people are not going to be buying tickets to attend their local Grand Prix because economically it's just not. You just can't do it. People don't have the funds anymore.
Right. And that one, they're afraid that in 2 weeks they could get laid off, and they don't want to put up the money, you know, for tickets to go to a Grand Prix and then find out that they don't have a job when it's time to go and they're completely SOL.
Exactly. So Nasser has stepped into the studio. He knows fiscal responsibility like anybody else. Nas, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Good evening to everybody. I'm doing well. How is the Duke of Dijon?
The Duke of Dijon, like I said, is still celebrating the Fernando win, back-to-back wins for Renault. A great team, great management, and we'll talk about that later on in the program. But your thoughts on the cancellation of the French Grand Prix?
Great team, great management. What about the driver?
Ha! Machismo! But it takes a team. And like Nasser Hamid has pounded into my brain millions of times, it's the package. And not only the package, not just the nuts and bolts, but the cerebral part of the team effort very important ass, and we saw that this weekend. But anyway, back to the French Grand Prix. Do you see this possibly becoming a domino effect in Formula One?
Well, the problem we have is around the world. It's not just an isolated, you know, U.S., Western Europe thing. It's going to affect everybody. And the only bright thing I can think of is, as I put on the forum also, is that pretty soon $15 million from Tony George may not look bad to Formula One management. But this, you know, in the long run could also swing in the favor of traditional tracks in Europe, you know, because sooner or later, you know, the governments in countries in like Malaysia, Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, where they don't have a, nothing against these places or the tracks, but where they don't have a depth of motorsports heritage or even interest, they're going to get sick and tired of this paying $30, $35 million, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, and what I'm surprised about is having canceling the French Grand Prix before really having some backroom talks with Bernie. Basically, in these terrible times economically, why not ask for a discount, you know, get on your knees and beg for the Bernie discount?
No, I think it's a market-driven thing. You know, Bernie was asking for $30, $35, $40 million because he could get it. Now the tide is turning, so might not be a bad idea for FFSA, the French Racing Authority, to sit back and, you know, take their time without any rush to find a suitable location. And then this really, you know, I tell you, what they should really do is spend a few million dollars instead of spending $200 million and bring back Paul Ricca. Beautiful location, long Mistral Strait. Now it has a chicane, but it's still a great place. It's not a Mickey Mouse track.
And all you'd really have to do there is build grandstands.
Grandstand, and, you know, for less than $30 million, it could be a very nice place and a very nice location. Nobody can complain about the location south of France.
Of course, no. Great weather, great women, yeah. Great racing. Yeah.
Well, how far to the nearest hotel?
No, no, it's not too far from Marseille. That was never a problem.
Exactly. It's not like Manicou or where that was an issue. But very sad. Let's move on. Of course, Renault, back-to-back wins. Singapore. And, of course, the hombre of the Orient, as Nasser so cleverly quoted.
Good to see Fernando in good form. The fun part about, like I think I said on the weekend podcast, was that this one he earned. Whereas the one in Singapore was maybe a little bit handed to him because of the safety car issue. But this one, he basically went out and took advantage of mistakes by his competition.
Exactly.
To win the race.
He's capitalizing on people breaking under pressure at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
And he sees it coming. And you got it. I mean, moi is going to giggle a little bit. But, of course, Nasser, you take this so very seriously.
I do, because, you know, I have a passion for motor racing, and I love a good performance. I don't care if it's coming from Hombre de España or Hombre de Estonia. And, you know, the amazing thing about Alonso's second win is he now has the same number of wins this year as Raikkonen, which really speaks for his talents and speaks volume for serious lack of commitment from Kimi Raikkonen. And
driving a car
with whom his teammate is fighting for the championship. This is really pathetic. And it really just, you know, I was watching, I'm sure quite a few of our listeners, and you may also have the 1996, it's the review of the Grand Prix season when Damon Hill won, and at the beginning they were, you know, preseason testing, and there's a interview with Damon Hill, and they're saying that you have the best package now. And he said, yeah, but even then you have to go and win the championship. It's not handed out to you, as Kimi Raikkonen is finding out.
That's why we run the races.
Exactly. And Fernando's win has given him the 10 points he earned, 538 points. And his career started only in 2001, same as Raikkonen and also Monty.
At Minardi.
But he's gone. And those 538 points now put him fourth on the all-time list at the age of 27, which is very, very impressive. Whether you like
that. Well, does that really count? Because wasn't the point structure in the 50s and 60s a lot smaller point numbers?
Yes, it was, but also they had very few races. There were years when they only had 6-7 races. But, you know, he's not the only one competing.
Right.
So it's still very impressive. And this is only behind Schumacher, Prost, and Senna.
And that's a very good group of people.
It is a very incredible, group of people at the age of 27.
So once again,
if I wasn't wearing a sombrero, I would have taken off my sombrero for him.
Well, good for you, and then I will continue to say he certainly is el hombre muy macho de España.
That has never been doubted, you know.
Absolutely. So let's move on to why he won. Unbelievable mistakes. And it's funny because as he's being interviewed, Lewis Hamilton you know, he seems to tell the interviewer that, you know, he's more mature this year. He's got it together. He learned so much from 2007 and making those mistakes. And now it's pretty much in the bag. Don't worry about it. Bet on me when you talk to your bookie.
And what does he do? He blows the start and then tries to make up for it in the first corner, basically giving away the lead to Kubica and Fernando. And then he makes, I don't know if a truly boneheaded move, but not a really smart move to make the pass he made in front of his chief rival, which allowed him to basically spin him out without hurting himself. He's not nearly as mature as he seems to believe he is.
Now, Nasser, we know that they have meetings before the races. And of course, his dad is at every race, so he probably hears from his papito. And he hears from his papito number two, which is Ron Dennis. They must tell him and convince him, and they probably have pie charts, you know, and the bonus you get if you do this right, blah, blah, blah. What I don't understand is, you know, an hour later, this happens. Is it youth?
Well, you know, answering about making the mistakes, he has improved from last year. Instead of making the mistakes in the last two races, he has now started making from the last four races. So there is some improvement. Regarding the pie charts and bonus and carrots in front of him, you know, if you cannot learn from your mistakes that cost you a world championship and a significant piece in the history books of motor racing as a rookie world champion, if you cannot learn from your mistakes, there's nothing Anthony Hamilton or Ron Dennis or Norbert Hawk can do. But again, racing drivers are racing drivers. You know, you can tell them anything you want, but once the race starts, you know, boom, it's their instinct that takes over. But still, you know, you have to look at the big picture, especially going to a race where the whole thing started, coming unraveled for this guy. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, do well in this race because you know where you're going, and, you know. The sands of time shifted in Shanghai for him.
And it's funny because we see the unraveling, you know, we think it's going to stop, and then the next race comes, and it continues. And it's certainly bizarre for both McLaren and Ferrari. Now, quickly, let's get to the FIA, the penalties. A lot of people are talking about the penalties are completely out of control. I thought, even though Bourdais maybe should have given Massa more room, but then you could go the other way around. Massa saw Bourdais gets the penalty, loses valuable points. And when we say loses, people forget, it's not just the driver losing points. That team at the end of the season is losing direct cash input when you lose those points. Those are really important to the team itself. I mean, your thoughts, Stephen, on the ridiculousness of the amount of penalties. I mean, shouldn't there be a margin of error given to everybody where, you know, it's okay, it's racing incident, yeah. Nobody's in danger, let's move on.
The Massa or Bourdais incident really to me was far more of a racing incident than some of the previous ones. I understand the Hamilton penalty because he's locking him up going into the corner. He's obviously not in control of his car, so that makes sense. The fact that Massa gets Hamilton and spins him, you know, he kind of cuts the corner a little bit to get to Hamilton. So, okay, they were both penalized. They both did a drive-through. Perfect, you know, pretty much fair. But in the incident with Bourdais and Massa, Bourdais coming out of the pits. He's in the pit out. And Massa basically tries to squeeze him. There's no reason for Massa to do that. So I don't see how you blame Bourdais for driving on the track. He didn't have anywhere to go.
No,
basically put himself in a position to get spun by trying to squeeze Bourdais off the track.
No, but people coming out of the pit lanes are obviously heavier on fuel. I think if Massa lets him go by, he'll pass them.
He gets him in the next corner.
Check gains later. He's in a Ferrari. I mean, come on.
Not only that, but if he just takes that turn a little wider and just gets out past him, he's past him.
Not only that, but he spins the car and loses more precious time. Nasser, your thoughts on the Bourdais incident?
Well, I'll tell you, completely BS penalty on Bourdais. The only penalty that I really think was fair this year is when Raikkonen was hit from behind by Hamilton. Okay, he took him out, They gave him a penalty, 10 grid, whatever it was. I did not like the Spa penalty. I don't even like the Massa penalty from this race. You know, these are racing incidents. This has been going on. And and we can have this conversation all day long, all night long. And I'm just glad these stewards, they were not at Dijon-Prenois in 1979. And I was thinking, you know, if these people, same stewards were around when Senna and Mansell were going like junkyard dogs, you would never have those great battles. And so, you know.
And what would have happened to Michael Schumacher in his earlier years if the stewards were this, you know, penalty happy? Schumacher probably wouldn't have won his first two championships.
Yeah. And the body, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and I told him Massa picked up 2 points. He says, no, 1 point because he finished eight. I said, no, he got seven because body was penalized. He says, for what? And I told him, he says, that's unacceptable. I said, well, that's just the way it is. So, you know, we hate to have a championship decided by a steward's decision.
You and know, it very well could be, just because of the number of points that's been dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, Hamilton losing the points in Spa, and basically, I don't know how much Hamilton was worried about, but giving Massa an additional point here in Japan, if it turns out to be like 3 points different, then the stewards made the difference.
Yeah. Not only that, but it's going to impact the racing, because every race driver is now always looking over his back.
Yeah, I mean, this
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I don't like it at all. And what they really should do is they should appoint like a permanent three stewards, you know, maybe like a Ross Nico. Well, Nico Rosberg's dad is there, so I won't say kick it. Or like Niki Lauda and, you know, some scene. You know what is amazing? They are even going against their own person, Charlie Whiting. I mean, that guy has a lot of, you know,
credibility,
history, experience. And, you know, this thing really goes back to, and you would like this, the mass damper situation. Renault had sought clearance from FIA technical committee. Not only Charlie Whiting, but their technical stewards had cleared the thing. And then halfway through the season, oh, we're going to sue our own stewards and get this thing banned.
Yeah, welcome to the Ferrari International Assistance Team.
I don't like this.
And I thought they were appointing permanent stewards.
Not yet.
Oh, it didn't happen because I know that we had all the incidents year before last when, you know, that horrendous blocking penalty of Felipe Massa by Fernando Alonso.
Oh,
when
that was a mile apart. Oh, Monza? God.
What I don't understand is, you know, every week I see a headline from Max Mosley, you know, lowering costs in Formula One. I'd like to see a headline saying, I'm going to address this penalty problem now. Apparently, Mosley doesn't even discuss it.
Yeah, it's very easy to reduce the costs. Have most of the races in Europe, you know. There you go. You don't have to fly far away places.
And free tickets for F1 Weekly.
Yeah, and you know, as far as this penalties are concerned for passing somebody, I mean, this is Formula One. This is not geriatrics Grand Prix, where, you know, Kimi's feeling are hurt because he had to go off. I mean, you know, these things
pathetic.
Happen. Yeah, very bad.
Okay, let's quickly stop picking on the FIA and their stewards and go right to Big Bob. Robert Kubica has a very good chance of winning this world championship. I think it would be absolutely glorious.
It would be fun to see that happen. It would be nice to see someone other than Ferrari win the championship it's only been a year, but it would be nice to see Robert do it. It would be a great boost for BMW in the sport. Basically, would make Robert Kubica, you know, really prove his potential if they could pull it off. It's going to be tough, but, you know, the way Lewis has been driving the last couple of weeks, and Felipe's been so inconsistent and has been also making mistakes, they've really opened the door for him.
Absolutely. And what I'm thinking is, you know, Fernando did say he'll help Felipe Massa, and I think that was a knee-jerk reaction from El Machismo Man. But on the other side of that, if he sees these two guys fighting again, making mistakes and winding up P12, and he sees Robert right next to him, Fernando is the kind of guy who'll say, you know, Robert, here you go.
I could see Fernando, if Robert is running a close second to him again in China, letting him get past.
I mean,
Fernando's gotten his two wins.
It's tough for teams to do that because, once again, the points equals cash.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But your thoughts on Roberto?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the heat is on both Hamilton and Massa. And I will not be surprised if they take each other out in one of the remaining races. And if Kubica capitalizes, wins the race, gets 10 points, he can pull out a Raikkonen of last year this year.
Yeah, because he's a steady driver, few mistakes, similar to Fernando Alonso. And once he's in front, steady, good lap times, And he finishes the race.
He has nothing to lose.
Exactly. And he has nothing to lose, so he can take that extra gamble while these two guys have everything to lose, and it seems like they break under the pressure. So my money is on Robert Kubica for the World Championship because I think it would add even more excitement.
And how much money are we talking about? 3 zlotys?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, Hamilton, what will happen, we don't know. Championship can be decided in China, but I'll tell you, if it's not decided in China, Hamilton better have a 5-point advantage over Massa, because Massa is going to win Sao Paulo, and Kimi Raikkonen, I think he'll forget his vodka for a week and finish second.
Exactly.
That will be all over for
him. And once again, let's not forget that Lewis Hamilton can put it away in China.
Oh, it's a possibility, absolutely.
Mathematically, he can put it away. Yeah. If things go well.
If it's a wet race, it's a pretty much done deal.
I don't know.
It was a wet race last year, and he didn't put it away. Because he could have put it away.
Well, the team put it away for him. He did put it away in the kitty litter.
Yeah, but that's part his fault, part their fault.
Rumor have it that
meow, meow.
That area has been cemented.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a little plaque.
Lewis was here?
Yeah.
Embedded in
exactly. So, real quickly before we go to break, I want to talk about, David Coulthard, who has announced his retirement. We know that it's going to be his last few races, and hopefully he doesn't take too many people out with him.
Well, I think this time was not his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault, but even if it's not his fault, he seems to do the kamikaze run.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre, but, I like David Coulthard. Great legacy, lots of history with David. Keep up the good work. But, of course, I'm talking about Rubens Barrichello, the two-legged Rubens Barrichello, of course. And this is going to be, it looks like, his last season. He says he can't stand the silence in the paddock. And I'm surprised. Rubens, be a man and announce your retirement.
Well, there was a news item today that Bruno Senna might do a test for Honda. And that people in Japan would love to see the Honda name and Senna name together again. They have such a big passion for Ayrton Senna.
I honestly think that Senna's going to get the drive.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
there's no point in keeping Rubinho. He cannot even run away from, Jenson Button.
I know, and I just wish, because I like Rubinho. Another great career, probably one of the longest ones. He's beat the Pedrese record. I mean, come on, once you've beaten the Pedrese record, you pretty much know you've been hanging around too long. And I think he should retire eloquently, announce it in Brazil, the last race, and say,
it would make more sense for him to announce it, retire, rather than basically get axed by Ross Brawn at the end of the season.
And all of a sudden we see him over at Homestead, Florida, hanging around with Tony Kanaan.
And it's always IRL,
yeah,
which he's reported to be eyeing.
Oh, I think he will be in IRL. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think...
And do very well, too.
I think he will do very well once he gets a grip with the ovals.
Well, I think he'll do fine on the ovals. Ovals have always been the track of old men. Look at all the guys getting
keeping that. That's that open mind of the hosts.
Exactly.
The co-hosts. Well said, Stephen. I like that. Geriatrics and ovals, they come together.
You'll have to worry about one turn.
That's true. The mental thinking is much limited. I hope we don't get a phone call from Elio Castroneves in the next...
I have a question. How come you did not celebrate the Singapore win with the Corona like you have now?
This is a free Corona from the Mr. Falb refrigerator.
Yeah, okay. It's because of the location that we're actually doing the show from.
Exactly. Headquarters is getting revamped right now. We're getting new carpeting and stuff, and we couldn't be in there right now. So there you have it, Nasser. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial and more interesting tidbits, and of course, some quality tea.
Reheated tea.
Thank you very much. We'll be back after this brief message.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com, and now for everyone's favorite segment, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King of Karachi himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid.
I got a bad start, and I slipstreamed Kimi, and I had an opportunity to get the inside, so I went, but everyone breaks late. I think if you watch the replay, everyone went wide. I just went a bit wider than everyone else, and for some reason I got a penalty for that. So I can't honestly understand that. And then Felipe drove into me.
Okay, greetings and racing regards to all the listeners from Puhon to Nihon. Headlines from the weekend: Muy Macho Hombre strikes again. Formula 3 championship is decided in Britain. Same old story in Tour de Corse. And down under, they had their biggest race of the year at Mount Panorama, the Bathurst 1000.
Of course, big race down
yes,
under.
Yes, sir. We shall start with some motorsport mantra we haven't had.
I want to hear more of that. That macho stuff.
Yeah, and season is coming to an end. The heat is on.
Heat is on.
Yes. Do, do, do. Okay, Mr. Fry. Okay, so this is what we have here. The Japanese Grand Prix was round 8-1 in the history of World Championship. It was good to see a race at Mount Fuji Circuit in dry conditions. But yet again, another damp, under-the-pressure slip-up by pole-sitter and championship leader, the talented Mr. Lewis Hamilton. The track is pretty good. In the rain, we could not see last year.
I thought the track looked really nice with the elevation changes. Stuff that you missed when it's pouring down rain.
Exactly. It's still no Suzuka.
No, but it's still... I think it's a nice pretty track. Nice track. Let's give those guys some credit.
Yes, and the long straight reminds me of
absolutely
Mistral at Paul Ricard. Hamilton drove the opening lap like it was the last lap of the last race of the season, and he had to pass Raikkonen to win the championship. Just like Brazil last year, all he had to do was follow Kimi and extend his lead over Massa. But no.
No!
He must win each and every fight to become world champion, and in doing so he demonstrated aggressiveness of a demolition derby driver and the inexperience of a Formula Ford racer. And you know what? Apart from these 1 point Massa getting here and 2 points because he was, penalized in Spa, he really has lost at least minimum 16 points by his screw-ups. One in the Canadian Grand Prix. He would have won that race, or maybe at worst-case scenario, second. And here also, he would have, if not first, he would have been second very easily.
Even with the start he had, he could have finished in the top five.
Oh,
in
the first or second is a given, especially with what happened, Kovalainen dropped out. So it's very important to, be a good bean counter. He needs to sit down with people at McLaren and ask them how McLaren drivers won the championship in 1984 and 1986. Niki Lauda and Alain Prost, respectively, both won championships they should not have, but were smart and calculating enough to add up the points for the big prize at the end of the season. And we all know what happened in 1986.
Machismo.
Yeah, and in 84, Lauda won over his own teammate by half a point.
Exactly.
Hamilton needs a mental fix, as he will not be saved by 0 points scored in final few races. Formula One is no pussycat doll entertainment show. He needs to scratch Massa's back more effectively, which only means keep Massa behind him and not worry who is leading the race after the first corner of the first lap. Otherwise, Ron Dennis will be jolly upset and Norbert Hogg does pissed off, regardless of what they say in the press. Which
I know.
Is
they seem to be very mildly affected by the mistakes. I was surprised to see McLaren coming out and say that they actually like Lewis Hamilton's approach. Oh, that's the way we support that attack mode. And I was going, huh?
Gee, I didn't see them embracing each other after Sao Paulo last year.
Yeah. Exactly.
They probably like the aggressive style, but he's got to race more smart.
Yeah, of course. Show some experience, maturity. Okay, and talking of Massa, another lucky extra point courtesy of stewards' stupidity. You may ask yourself, is this the way to win a world championship? With Massa being universally tipped to win his home Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton better go into the final race at least 5 points ahead of his challenger. Otherwise, he may find Kimi Raikkonen a weekend alert for a second-place finish in Sao Paulo, and history will repeat itself, and Massa will do the samba.
Absolutely, and what's really sad is I don't think Lewis Hamilton has had a kablamo this year.
Well, see, the law of averages is going to catch up to him sooner or later. It happens.
And we know that.
Just ask Michael Schumacher.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing he needs to worry about, too, is that he's pissed off a number of other people on the grid who will make his life difficult in getting past them, which could conceivably make his life miserable coming into the later races.
Well, you know, as...
This is reminding me of NASCAR all of a sudden. I just got a flashback.
The only person who can make his life miserable and beat himself, Lewis Hamilton, is Lewis Hamilton himself.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, he's going to qualify pretty much on the front row. So he will have either as company Felipe Massa and or Heikki Kovalainen or Raikkonen. So he really, all he has to do is really, he needs to do what he should have done in Brazil last year, follow Alonso all through the race and say, ah, you beat me, but I'm the world champion.
Yeah,
that would have been the right thing to do.
Absolutely. But let's see what happens. We're going to find out within 30 days. A few words about Robert Kubica. Man scored a point on his Grand Prix debut back in 2006, Hungary, only to be taken away by a steward penalty. Do you remember that? Yeah. Then pulled a great outbreaking move on Massa same year at Monza for his first podium finish. He is calling his second place finish in Japan better than winning in Montreal, saying, and I quote, "The car is not the one from the beginning of the season. We didn't improve a lot in the last 2 or 3 months," end of quote.
Now, he seems to be a little bit too honest about what's going on with the team as well. And I think Mario probably doesn't like it, but,
no, but
that's his style.
But that's also BMW style. Mario tends to not doesn't obfuscate either. He pretty much tells it as it is. He doesn't, you know, make grand predictions, and he basically goes, "This is what we're trying to accomplish this year, and if we reach that, we'll be happy. If we don't, we'll be disappointed, but we'll work harder next year."
Had the BMW Sauber team not lost direction in the Swiss Alps in the middle of the season with new parts and ideas that did not work, which has since been confirmed by Dr. Tyson, Kubica could have pulled a Lauda or Prost on both Hamilton and Massa this year. He may still pull a Raikkonen if Hamilton and Massa keep on singing, "Let's get physical." Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you never know. Wouldn't that be amazing? The two guys who just had to finish two races lost the championship to Kubica.
Anything is possible. We saw it last year with Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, really, after we saw Japan, where Lewis dominates, we're going like, oh, basically he's just got to finish in the next two races. What does he do?
I'm telling you. Polish sausage is going to be in the fridge next week.
Well, if the season had another 6-8 races, Alonso could have won the champ. Could win the championship.
It's true.
Thanks,
Nasser.
You're welcome. I was thinking the other day, you know, if you're racing against Hamilton and you have a semi-competitive package, it might not be a bad idea to let him take a 14-15 point lead in the championship, 3 races to go. And then just you know, finish third and fourth and...
Watch him
in the gravel trap or some kablamo.
Watch him self-destruct.
But, you know, it's going to be a great win if he wins the championship. And if Massa wins, I mean, it will be like, I will have to eat that crow. And we may have to do a 5-minute video again, eating that crow.
Yeah, we'll have you eating the crow on YouTube for sure.
You know what kind of species it would be?
No.
The Nabisco species.
That's nice. That's nice and crunchy.
So yeah.
We'll make it out of Oreo cookies for you there. So
thank you.
It's a little easier to eat.
Thank you. Okay, Sebastian Bourdais, your other muy macho hombre de Francia. He has now finished in the last 10 races. That's very impressive. Let's hope common sense prevails at Toro Rosso and he has a ride with them in 2009. I think if Bruno Senna goes to Honda, it may be very good for him.
I think so, too.
Yeah. The 25 seconds penalty he got was very bad wasabi. Nobody liked the taste of it, moi included. And you know what is amazing? When you talk to all these drivers, and I'm not going to take any names who get penalty, if 3 drivers get penalty in 1 race, and you ask the driver about your penalty, oh, he's innocent, but the other 2 are guilty.
I like what Fernando said.
Which is?
He didn't know anything about the penalty that the Hamilton guy didn't know why, but he goes, "I'm sure it was well-deserved." That was cool.
That's called simmering.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, where are we now? Next race is this weekend, of course, in Shanghai. And my sound advice to Lewis Hamilton is don't leave footprints in the sand. Create history, don't repeat it. In less than 30 days, we will know who the 2008 world champion is, Hamilton or Massa. Or maybe Kubica. Somebody's fortune cookie will crumble, and time will tell who will be humble.
I can't wait. And what's really exciting is the Chinese Grand Prix is this weekend!
Yes, sir. It will be very late California time, but at least it's on a Saturday late night.
I think it's 11 p.m. for us.
Yeah, something like that.
In the evening. So,
that's not too bad.
Not too bad, you know. I just have to cut the Bordeaux.
Or start the Bordeaux later.
Later, exactly.
Maybe get a nap.
And with that, we make a call to Land Down Under, the Bathurst 1000. Third win in a row for Ford Falcon drivers Craig Lowndes and Jamie Wincup for Team Vodafone. First time drivers have won three Bathurst in a row since Peter Brock and Larry Perkins in 1982, 83, and 84. And Larry Perkins is a bona fide F1 reject from the mid-70s. This race is the Indy 500 of Australian motorsports and a major sporting event in the country. And, you know, there is this website. Most people would know it's called www.imvite.com, where you can see live TV from different countries. And I was able to watch a little bit of this race on Big Pond TV.
Oh, really?
Which is an Aussie network.
Pretty good.
I believe Super V8 website, too, also has...
streaming?
Well, not streaming, but you can go if you've missed a race. They have replays. They'll give you, like, highlights for the race and stuff like that.
Very good, and I'm sure there will be a window of like 10 days in America after the NASCAR season where Speed TV will show.
It usually runs between December and February, middle of the week, at like 2 in the afternoon. You get BTCC, V8 Supercar, and then you get German Touring.
Yeah,
they run them like back to back to back.
Now we come to Rally Corsica Tour de Corse, home to Mr. Bonaparte in days gone by. The Rally of Corsica has become the home of Sebastian Loeb. He took his fourth successive victory in a Citroën, which was also his 10th of the season. With only two rounds remaining, Loeb leads Mikko Hirvonen by 14 points and is now looking good for a record 5th consecutive world title. Hirvonen was second thanks to four team orders ahead of François Duval and Jari Martti Latvala. Subarus of Petter Solberg and Steve Fobb's favorite driver Chris Atkinson of Australia were 5th and 6th, respectively.
I think it's the other way around.
Hmm?
Solberg is probably more of my friend.
Oh, you like Solberg now?
Well, back in the day.
Yeah, okay. Now we come to British Formula 3 from Donington Park. The weekend produced the second coming... Pay attention, Mr. Rogers. The weekend produced the second coming of Muy Macho Hombre de España. 18-year-old and very talented Jaime Alguersuari is the youngest and first Spanish driver to win the British Formula 3 championship. He won both races of the weekend to seal the crown. And I was singing his praises several months ago. I think this guy is pretty good, just like Brendan Hartley also. Talent is talent, you know. Race one, New Zealand driver Brendan Hartley, there he is, was second. Both him and Jaime are Red Bull-supported drivers. Race two, Nick Tandy was second and Sergio Perez was third. In the early season, Perez, who is from Mexico, he had a big lead and led most of the season, but then lost steam. German Formula 3 from Oschersleben. This was a pretty interesting result. Race 1 winner was Monty's homeboy from Colombia, Sebastian Saavedra, over fellow South American from Venezuela, Johnny Chicardo Jr. The senior Chicardo was a motorcycle champion and also drove in Formula 1. Race 2 was won by Laurens Venthoor of Belgium over Chicardo Jr. and Saavedra in third. Recently crowned Formula BMW Europe champion from Mexico, Esteban Gutierrez, was 10th. And he also qualified pretty well, I think like 7th or 8th in one of the races. So he's testing, you know, bigger and bigger cars. The German Formula 3 championship has already been waffled up by Belgian Frederik Verfisch. And if I'm screwing up the name, apologies. Indy Racing League, this is another name to watch. And I want to make a statement which some people may not like, but it's racing reality in my opinion. Rafael Matos, winner of four championships in the last 6 years, will drive for Lusso Dragon Team in 2009. Jay Penske is one of the team owners, and his papito's first name is Roger, also known as Captain in American Racing. You know, Rafael Matos, I've been watching his career for a few years now, when he was in his first year of Formula Atlantic. He was like Grosjean, very quick, mistake-prone, and now he has won 4 championships in 6 years. And I will not be surprised. I don't know about the first, but 2009 and 2010, I bet you anything he will have more wins than Marco Andretti, Danica Patrick combined. I can almost guarantee you, like, the men's warehouse.
Excellent.
Again, talent is talent, you know. And he's not even with the Penske Real team. It's the, you know, junior team. Elio Castroneves, man on the fences, will be allowed to race in the non-championship event at Surfers Paradise later this month. Upon return, he will still have to sort out the Uncle Sam mess. They came knocking on his door a few weeks ago. Pretty soon it will be time to pay the piper, or he will pipe his tune to Castroneves' cell. And Pied Piper's, the Uncle Sam's Pied Piper, his tune has a very bitter feel to it.
And it does.
Yeah. It's a scratchy tune, you know. And now a word from our sponsor, Jacoby and Myers and Johnny Cochran Unlimited. You know, like Barry White had a Love Unlimited, so Johnny Cochran has Litigation Unlimited. We, the people, including OJ, are all innocent till proven guilty in a court of law. And I'm saying this because I don't want to say that or imply that Castroneves is guilty.
Of course not.
Is he going to use the classic, my accountants told me that it was okay if defense?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. As long as nobody knocked on my door, he was my buddy. Yeah, that's the way it is. And I think what will happen is that this will get settled, you know, behind closed doors, and then, you know, everybody will be happy. And next
couple
thing,
hours of community service. And
yeah, millions of, yeah. And on that serious note, we come to something even more serious, the NASCAR Nightly News.
Very important.
This is interesting. McLaren engineer Steve Hallam is crossing the pond at the end of the season to join Michael Waltrip's racing. And this is the gentleman who says, good job, Lewis, good job. So instead of hearing good job, Lewis, next season we'll be hearing him say, boogity, boogity, Michael, boogity, boogity. Oh, I can't wait to hear that in British accent.
Well, but what about tire fire?
Yeah, that's coming too.
Do they send him to a special school before he goes across the pond to learn the NASCAR point system? I mean, you know, the calculus, trigonometry.
No, they don't have that. You know, I think it's called the Southern School of...
No, he takes abacus lessons.
Okay.
So he can do the math in his head.
There you go.
I don't think anybody could do the math in their heads.
I can just see the digital slings and arrows coming our way. But it's only a joke, folks. Let's not get too serious. Salo in the circles. Ex-Grand Prix driver and Mika Hakkinen neighbor when they were kids. Mika Salo is hoping to land a ride in Sprint Cup. Last few years, he has been racing and winning in American Le Mans Series. And now we cut to the chase. While Alonso is celebrating his 21st Grand Prix win, Jeff Burton is matching his feet in NASCAR as he scored his 21st victory at Lowe's Motor Speedway in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's now second in the chase behind Jimmy Johnson of El Cajon in SoCali, Southern California. That
is it his 21st first of the year?
No, I think
what about Greg Biffle?
Oh, he's one of the favorites.
Great.
He's up there.
And how's Dick Trickle doing?
No, I think he's in ARCA. Oh, talking of ARCA, did you see what happened in the ARCA race?
I didn't see what happened.
Mr. Yes, Fobb?
No.
Well, Scott Speed had a great chance of winning the championship. Him and another kid, Newhouse or something like that. The other kid basically just ramped him behind, and then he claimed he may be right again, you know, innocent until proven guilty. He said his brakes failed.
So he pulled a Raikkonen on Sutil?
Big time. And then Speed did, he retaliated by taking him out, so NASCAR benched Speed for the rest of the race, and he still had a chance. So
Jason was bump drafting.
Yeah, so Jason Elgar is the ARCA champion. But Scott Speed has a nice ride. And this is what happens when you have a big sponsor totally committed to you. He will make some cup races this year, and then next year full time. So we wish him well.
Absolutely.
Good for him.
Okay, and finally back to Formula One. Rumors are circulating that McLaren Mercedes may supply engines and curve system to Force India. And in doing so, they may place their DTM driver Paul Di Resta in place of Sutilo Fisichella. And Paul Di Resta is a cousin to Dario Franchitti, and he's been making noises in the press that he has beaten Sebastian Vettel and he has beaten Lewis Hamilton. All true in certain races. And it's just one of those things, you know. You can say anything you want, but be careful what you wish for. It just might come true.
Exactly.
And it's one of those things, you know, if he goes to Force India, Nobody will expect him to win, but if it turns out, let's say Fisichella stays there or Sutil, he cannot even beat one of these drivers, then, you know, the party will be over before it starts.
Yes, but on the other hand, this could be a good deal for Force India because they'll also get technical help from McLaren, and this could maybe pick them up a little bit.
Well, the way things are going, and now they're saying the customer cars will be back in action, so who knows?
Well, the way they're talking, that it's, the way Max would like it is that it's everybody builds from the same plans.
I don't like that.
And that, to me, really, it defeats the purpose of what Formula One is.
They do that. It's called IRL.
Well, or A1GP.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Or Car of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
With the technology of day before yesterday.
My favorite.
Oh, yeah.
How
can you not notice this? The ING logo and line were blacked out on Alonso's driving suit, at least on the front. Did you see that?
No, I didn't
notice that the front of his suit was just a blue band instead of any logo.
Maybe I'm colorblind. I thought it was black.
Well, dark blue, one of the two.
And
yeah, I was like,
ING,
that looks odd.
Was that Singapore? They had their representative on the paddock.
Maybe the check bounced. I don't know. But the guy who went to take the Constructors' Cup, he had the same, the logo was blacked out. But the ING small ones were still there. But there is something fishy there. I don't think Dutch banks are a ban in Japan. I really don't think so. But, you know, otherwise they would have the small ones.
There is a possibility.
So you only just look at Alonso's eyes now?
No.
I mean, is the fascination gone to, like, into like some serious romance type deal here?
Absolutely.
That's the first thing I noticed when he was being interviewed.
Not me.
I noticed when he was on the podium. I'm like going, that looks odd. Because it was like the old Telefonica outfit with nothing written.
You know? I was still so happy about the win that I didn't notice any of that stuff.
That's an intriguing question.
Yeah, because in my initial thought was, it's tobacco, it's not allowed. Then I said, no, tobacco is out.
Tobacco.
It's the ING.
Yeah, there must have been some conflict with a race sponsor or something that caused them to have to pull it.
Let's get some emails on that. Let's get the listeners out there. Find out.
Somebody out there will know.
We have to say, hello, Elvin Van Doren in Holland. He should know.
He's
in Holland. So if you could give us an update on this, what's going on, we shall appreciate. Okay, Jean Todt prancing away from Ferrari to FIA. Looks like he is being groomed to take over Max's job when Mosley decides to retire to a comfortable and fun-loving life in Chelsea.
But Bernie Ecclestone was out yesterday saying, I hope he stays on for another 20 years.
Yeah.
Bernie is, he just says the thought of the day.
Yeah.
I really don't like his...
just the blurt. Of the week.
It's inconsistent, it's not very cool, and I don't like it. But I do have, and thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, but of course,
another.
Jay Streets has provided us with another WRC report straight from France, and we're talking about Le Rallye de France en Corse. Okay, here we go. The final tarmac round of 2008 is held on the tight, twisty, and sometime dirty roads of the island of Corsica. Home turf advantage has to go to the Citroëns and Sebastian Loeb. This could be it for than championship fight. To lock up the driver's title, Sebastian Loeb only needs to score 8 points than his Ford rival, Hirvonen. The WRC continues to mirror F1 not just in the schedule, but the results. The field is dominated by a team of two red cars from the continent. Their only real competition comes from a manufacturer team based in England that is not from England. There are two teams from Japan that, though well-funded, seem continually flounder, not to mention a handful of other teams that never really pay into the mix. Does any of this sound familiar? Day one, the event started out the same as last week's event, with Sebastian leading his Citroën teammate Danny Sordo, followed by Ford's Duval and Hirvonen, with Subaru's Petter Solberg a minute back. All was on track until the third stage when number two Citroën clipped a bank, damaging the left front corner, and was out of the event. Day two with Danny Sordo out and Ford's hired gun, Duval, sitting in second place. It is just a matter of time before team orders have him step off and hand the position to title contender Hirvonen. Duval and Hirvonen battle hard all day. At the close of the leg, we saw Sebastian 52 seconds over Duval. Hirvonen close behind, 4 seconds back, and Latvala in fourth, a minute behind the leaders. We will have to wait till day three to see the four team orders come into play. Day three arrives. Disaster struck Ford again. On the first stage, Hirvonen broke a rim driving over a pothole, causing him to stop on stage and change the wheel. The incident cost him to drop to fifth place, a full 3.5 minutes down on the leaders. At service, Ford boss Malcolm Wilson confirmed that in order to keep the driver's title chase alive, they would have to be issuing team orders to put Hirvonen back in second spot. No big surprise, the only thing left was just how are they going to move up a full 3.5 minutes? Ford needs to be very careful to give just enough time to position their number one man, while not letting Petter Solberg's Subaru come between the remaining Fords. On the very next stage, Duval checks in early, Latvala checks in late. They both receive time penalties that leave Hirvonen 5 seconds back of Latvala. And Duval right behind Hirvonen on stage. Latvala stops short of the finishing, waiting for the clock to tick off the additional 5 seconds before completing the events. In other words, they were manipulating the clock, the times, just to get the
penalties. They're doing things that they needed to do to get the time for...
Right. Team orders are full play over at Ford. Hirvonen again commented that he is not comfortable with how he got the points, but in the title chase, he will take them. So in other words, they're doing thinking, you know, that cerebral stuff that maybe Lewis Hamilton might want to start giving some thought to. Well, just my thoughts.
Doing something that's illegal in Formula One, team orders are no-no.
The final results see another win for Citroën's Sebastian Loeb. This makes 10 wins this year, tying his own record, and 46 total WRC victories. Sebastian was 3.5 minutes in front of the Fords and 5.5 minutes in front of the fifth place Subaru of Petter Solberg. This, and after just under 4 hours of stage times, the WRC moved back to gravel in Japan at the end of the month. With a 14-point lead, Sebastian only needs to score a third or better to clinch. Citroën sitting 23 points over Ford is virtually guaranteed to take the manufacturer's crown back, and if not in Japan, at the final in Great Britain next month. And of course, we know that Rossi will be driving in the World Rally Championship in Great Britain. I think that's exciting for him. See you on stage, and of course, Viva Alonso, bravo, bravo, bravo from J Streets in beautiful Northern California. Okay, let's go to the wrap-up. Steve has the forum updates.
And from the forum this week, thank you, Yay, as always. In this week's snippets from the F1 Weekly Forum, there's a lot of discussion about the penalties on the drivers at Suzuka? No, at Fuji. Come on, Yay, get your tracks right. Looks like there's a lot of strong feelings about the direction the FIA is taking on imposing the penalties. This has made the forum busier than ever. Lots of new members and lots of posting. The F1 Weekly Forum members have made a total of 45,033 posts in 2,374 threads. We currently have 350 members registered on the forum. If you want to find the latest feeds showing F1, make a comment about something or ask a question, visit the forum. We also like to know a little bit about you, so please post in the Get to Know You forum and tell us how you first got interested in Formula One. Want to give a shout out to the newest posters from last week: Brett SV, Alchemac, a Calm Cat, Will 5L, R.
Boulanger,
Chris R20XX, Mikey B, Starfleet 76, and Alex, welcome to all. Sihi Sin took a convincing win in the Predictions Championship for Japan and has gained the overall lead. And finally, a big happy birthday to Desiree. We miss you, Des. That's all for now, but keep posting, everybody.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to Desiree.
Thanks, Jake.
Don't be a lurker. Get on the forum and contribute. We don't bite, and actually we're a pretty friendly forum. No flaming that I know of, Nasser.
There's been heated discussions, but never anything, you know, we're not going to beat you down just because, you're a Raikkonen fan or something.
It's a good place for quality intellectual exchanges.
El correcto.
Exactly. Okay, speaking of intellectuals, let's quickly get to the calendar. How's it coming? Is it printing? Is it warm off the press?
It is printed, and they sent me a couple of sheets looking beautiful. Your Muy Moche Hombre de Francia Senior Pros is on the cover.
The professor.
And by Friday, they would be on a truck from Fort Worth, Texas to Cali. It takes about 3 business days. So hopefully by the end of next week, we can start shipping out. Looking beautiful. Very nice.
Hopefully we'll have them in hand for next week's show.
Very possible. Very possible.
That's exciting.
Yes, sir.
Too bad it's not a video podcast, but we'll give a vivid description or something.
Yeah, and of course the team is powered by Turbo. It will be celebrating 30 years of first Turbo win.
Okay. And we'll probably get the artwork to our webmaster, Toby Dawes, who does an outstanding job, and probably get that into the flash and give you a little snippet of
yes,
how
sir.
Exciting this calendar is.
And there's a wonderful forward in there, is it or not?
Yeah, actually it's a question session with Francois Castaigne. This was a gentleman who was head of Renault Technical Department. And he was the gentleman who went to the Renault board of directors to say we should go and with a turbo engine to Formula One. So a lot of interesting information there.
Keep up the good work, Nass. Thank you so very, very much. Okay, real quickly, I want to mention our Facebook site. Now, obviously, since I'm not a Facebook hipster, I've been saying it wrong. So I've got an email from our dedicated listener, Christopher, also known as Autoracer5. And he tells me like this, Facebook isn't run the same way as MySpace is for the URLs to website. The proper announcement should be F1Weekly.com under groups. That's how we need to get people to go into the group. Also, he's giving us some IndyCar news. So here's a supplemental. He says, Elio Castroneves will get to race in Surfer's Paradise. You see, he's always a day late. Nasser's got all this stuff. He's a professional. Keep up.
Highly paid professional.
Yeah, highly paid professional. And of course, Roth Racing is for sale after rumors of the IRL not renewing Marty Roth's license to compete as a driver. And Rubicon Racing is rumored to be a big name in buying the equipment. Thank you, Christopher. So yeah, I'll get that real quickly. Let's see. We go to Facebook, F1Weekly.com under groups. I'll get that straight. You know, that new Facebook stuff, it's just not happening for me, but make us a friend.
You were such a big MySpace guy.
Yeah, I am. Obviously, if you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. And real quickly, do we have any more DVDs left for the...
yes, sir.
The Can-Am? So, okay, get your DVD orders in it now. And even if you can't afford it, get it anyway. That's what I always say. Thank you, everyone. And once again, Desiree... Happy birthday wherever you are. I think she's taking some special classes at Penn State. Just kidding. Thank you very much and good night.
I'll be here all week. Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.